Anybody remembers what Elohim is?
Plural.
Plural, right? So what is Elohim? What does it mean? Huh? All right, so it's Godhead, the Creator. All three gods are one. So we made mention about that. So tonight we're going to be looking in Genesis chapter 16. And we're going to look at, well, there's two ways of saying it. You could say El Roi or El Roi. I think that's what it one depends on what the pronunciation was saying. Roi. El Roi. Another way when they say it, they say Jehovah El Roi. And so I know that for some, what does it mean for all these names? Well, this is who our God is. And we can learn a lot about the names of God, who He is, what He stands for. And so tonight we're going to be looking at this very familiar passage. I mean, this has been preached on before, Genesis chapter 16. I would invite you for standing and reading the Word of God. Keep that blood flowing in your legs. Amen. Verse 1, the Bible says, Now Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children, and she had a handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said unto Abram, Behold, now the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarai. And Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband, Abram, to be his wife. Turn me down, sir. Yeah, I'm ringing. And he went unto Hagar, and she conceived, and when he saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. And Sarai said unto Abram, My wrong be upon thee, I have given my maid into thy bosom. And when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. The Lord judged between me and thee. But Abram said unto Sarai, Behold, thy maid is in thy hand. Do to her as it pleased thee. And when Sarai dealt hardly with her, she fled from her face. And the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way to Shur. And he said, Hagar, Sarai's maid, whence camest thou? And whither wilt thou go? And she said, I flee from the face of my mistress, Sarai. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, Return to thy mistress, and submit thyself unto her hands. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered for multitude. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, Behold, thou art with child, and shalt bear a son, and shalt call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction. And he will be a wild man, and his hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him. And he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren, and she shall, and she called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, Thou God seest me, for she said, I have also here looked after him that seeth me. Wherefore the well was called Beer Le Hei Roi. Behold, it is between Kadesh and Beerit. And Hagar bare Abram a son. And Abram called his son's name, which Hagar bare, Ishmael. And Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bare Ishmael to Abraham. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, dear God, for this text. We know, dear God, that there's a lot of hard words at times can pronunciate. But, dear God, we thank you, Heavenly Father, that, Lord, we can still learn from the stories. And so, Lord, we just ask tonight, dear God, that you would help us, Lord, to understand what it means, dear God, El Roi. what it means to understand, dear God, that the God who sees me. And so tonight, Heavenly Father, as we bring that out, help us to be aware that you watch over us of all the things that we do. And so, Lord, we pray for your blessings and your teachings tonight. For it's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you. Be seated. And so many today, I want to get this out, and I want to say it as clear as I can. So you pray for my pronunciation. I really try study these words and try to pronounce them, and I get up here and I fail. It just blows my mind. But listen, I want to make a very startling statement. Many today are not distracted or changed when it comes to the subject of God watching over our life. Many people today, they think that God's up in heaven. They think that he's so far up there that he just doesn't understand where I'm at. In fact, he's so far up there, he doesn't even see me. Many people have taken that into their life. And so yet, we want to build this scene up to where we are at today, what we read. And the scene we think about in the book of Genesis chapter 15, where we find that God is bringing out the promises that were in Abram from back in Genesis chapter 12. Now look with me in Genesis 12. All right, Genesis 12 here. Look with me in verse 2. Here the Bible says in verse 2, these are from this point to the book of chapter 15, we find that God is bringing out these promises in Abram's life. So look with me in verse 2. It says, "And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing." Amen. We like that. And so here tonight we learn that God told Abram, says, "I will make thee a great nation." What kind of nation? Well, a nation that is so known, not even you can count with all the grains of the sand, not even all the stars in heaven, not even with any innumerable number. Today, we need to understand that God has placed Abram a nation to where you and I, we can come to know who God is, and we can receive him as our Savior. You and I can be a part of that nation. Amen. And so tonight we see here God making a promise. It says, look in the second one. He says, "I will bless thee," which is the second promise. Here all the worlds are blessed. Remember the Bible says that talking about Israel, those who bless Israel will be blessed. Amen. And so that is that those who follow after, God's people will be blessed. And so today we can be blessed because of the nations that go after God. Those nations who believe that Jesus Christ is the Lord. We can be a part of that blessing. We know that this is a promise to God's people. But we can find some of those promises in our lives once we give our lives to Jesus. Amen. He says, "I will make thy name great." Amen. You know, all the things that people go after in this world, that is the very one thing that they go after. You say, "Pastor, what do you mean?" Well, we've seen that a lot of people, they go after riches. They go after that all the things that the world pertain, but reality, a man or a woman really goes after making their name great. And yet we have a great name because of our Savior. Amen. Now all of this has come to where we at, where we lead up into 15. We know that I've learned through the story that Abraham, he was probably about 75 when he took off onto the journey to obey God. We know that about that time the angel of the Lord came to Abraham and told him, he promised him all these promises. And we know that Sarah in the tent was laughing at what was being said. But the time this comes when the promises become to fulfill 10 years later. You know, today in modern day age, we cannot comprehend the plausibility of what God is doing in Abram's life. You're saying, what do you mean? Well, what I mean is that when we get 75 or 80, which I'm not there, but when we get a 75 or 80, something strikes in our heart, a little bit of fear, because we understand that my end is coming and it's coming soon. And yet here, Abram is just beginning a good portion of his life. And he probably wasn't even halfway through his life. And so we don't understand that that area. But here we know that before the flood, people lived a long age. They lived a long life. We think about Adam. He lived 930 years. We think about Seth, 912 years. We think about Enoch, 365. And we think about Methuselah, 969. We think about all these things. But we need to see the disruption in the lifespan after the flood. And so we find that expansion becoming lesser and lesser and lesser. And today it brings you and I, perhaps when we get to that age, 70, 75, 80, 85, 90, it strikes fear in our heart. You say, Pastor, why is that? Because honestly, we live our life, we come accustomed to the lands of this world, and I don't believe that if anybody is in their right mind, could ever say that they're really ready to meet God, because there's always unfinished business. There's always things that you and I, we need to perfect in our life. And so the one thing that we could perfect in our life is not the more things that we're doing. It's not about all the things that we let into our mind. But I believe that the one thing that we are to be perfecting in our lives is drawing closer to the Holy Spirit. And today we can see in this story of chapter 16, we can see how it can entail two different perspectives. One, the first perspective is that perhaps Sarah was a kind of victim. You say, well, what does that really mean? Well, Sarah, we know that Sarah, she gave the command for her handmaid to go into and sleep with her husband. You say, well, Pastor, how can she be the victim? Because she was probably the victim when the Bible says that she went in and the handmaid, she conceived and she despised her mistress. And yet she became a victim. Amen. The second thing is that Hagar wasn't completely innocent. Now here she went in to Abram. He was like a king. He was the leader of the land. We know that Abraham, he was rich. He had a lot of wealth. I mean, there was no man around there at that time. We know that everywhere he went, he prospered. And we can imagine what was going on back then. But today we want to bring all this in because the perspective we want to look at, Hagar, how she was used, and she was used in an awful way. And that is that she was, perhaps, she was used as a slave. And she was used as a tool was used for a job. You know, you get done with the tool, it breaks, there's no care for it, you just throw it away and get another one. Right? And so today, you know, perhaps some folks come to church like that. They come to church being mistreated. They come to church being abused or being neglected. And so we are to understand how Hagar is feeling, because a lot of times, if we're truthful, we feel the same way in our lives. We make mistakes. We learn to live with those mistakes. But what's confusing in this story is the fact that here, it wasn't until the mistake of Hagar, it was the mistake of her mistress giving her a command to go and marry her husband. That was a mistake. And yet the confusing part of it is that when we live with the consequences of the mistakes of others, it comes to where we look at God. And we bring our life before God, and we compare our instances with what's happening in the world and what's happening with us, and we see there's no different. We too would want to run away, and a lot of us we want to run from our problems and get away from it. It's too much for us to handle. It's too much. It's just too hard to have to pay the mistakes for others. And yet God still commands us to live with one another. I'd like you to point out to you tonight with me in Genesis chapter 7 through 9. Look at what the Bible says. And the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way of Shur. And he said, Hagar, Sarai's maid, whence camest thou, and whither wilt thou go? And she said, I flee from the face of my mistress Sarai. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, return to thy mistress and submit thyself unto her hands. You know, tonight, and we can look at that in the midst of conflicts, we feel the deepest loneliness. In the midst of conflicts, we feel that nobody understands what we're going through. In the midst of conflicts, it seems that we're just there. We have this conflict in our life. We don't know what to do with it. We don't know how to handle it. But yet it's there, and it seems like nobody cares. But God does. Here you find that in this text that nobody went after Hagar, but God was there. And so tonight we understand that El Roi, ever how you want to put your language on that, we need to see that God sees who we are. He sees us. He sees the intimate parts of our life. Amen. And we ought to be grateful that God sees us. And so tonight I want to back up to verse 1, and I like to give you this first point, verse 5. The Bible says, and Sarai said unto Abram, my wrong be upon thee. I have given my maid into thy bosom. And when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. And the Lord judged between me and thee. And so the first thing that I'd like to give to you tonight is that Hagar's obedience out of the will of God was disastrous. Obedience, no matter that we think that we're doing right, we're following, we think that we're following the Lord. Listen, when we're out of the will of God, it doesn't matter how big or how much your obedience is. It is simply disastrous. I mean, it's wrong. It's going to be corrupt. No matter that you have good intent, it's just going to be messed up all the way around. And so tonight we want to recognize that it's always a bad idea to try to accomplish God's plans in your own way and your own time. Amen. Boy, I tell you tonight, we could give a lot of testimonies to that. Amen. God's plan completes us when we follow His methods. God's plan completes us when we follow His methods and His timings And when we decide not to tinker with it, but we just simply do it God's way, then we become very, very prosperous. Amen. We're only prosperous in our life as Christians when we begin to follow God in every aspect of our life. Amen.
Amen.
But it tells what happens is a lot of times we get ahead of God. Sarah thought that it was good. She was going to help God. He's a little too slow. Maybe he forgot about me. Maybe he just don't understand that he kept his promise, and I've been here 10 years waiting on his promise, and he just forgot about me, so I'm going to help him out because he did promise me. Amen. You know, sometimes we think that same thing in our life. Now, I'm not saying that that we have good intentions and all of our good intentions are wrong, but I am saying that a lot of times, if you would admit and put your hand on the Bible and confess that the truth, that sometimes you get ahead of God and you do your own thing, thinking that you're doing and following what God wants, and yet you wonder why everything is blowing up. Here Sarai comes up with a plan how to accomplish God's will and went to Abraham and told him what she thought. Now, I don't know a lot about Abraham because I wasn't there. I wasn't alive. And I can read a story and misconceive some things in his life, but I do say that Abraham was a very intelligent man at that time. And I do learn that in this tale that perhaps he not only was intelligent, but he was also a little ignorant. You say, well, Pastor, how can you say that? Well, because if he would have kept up with history, he would have learned that that happened so many years before his time. He could have looked at his ancestors and realized that it happened in the very beginning of mankind. The very same thing. We find where Eve, she was deceived by the serpent, and she was deceived into thinking that God is holding something back from them. And so she decided that she was going to be a help to God's plan. She was going to be a help to God's will. And so she went and she talked with her husband and said, hey, this fruit is good for Eve. She gave the plan. If we would just eat, we would be like God. And they both did eat. And so tonight we need to understand that just because the plan may seem good and it may seem that it may be prosperous to our future, but we need to recognize that any time that we're out of the will of God, it doesn't matter how extreme our obedience is, it's always going to be disastrous. And so it needs to be placed in our heart to wait on God, to keep close to God, amen, because we, at times, can be deceived by the serpent. Now, you know, we're so used today, hearing and preaching, that the devil comes like a roaring lion, and that he seeketh whom he may devour. We know that when he comes and he brings corrupt things into our midst, he brings people that are waxing worse and ready to deceive into our church. We know. I mean, we get right together and we get that garbage right on out of here. But I want you to know, and I want to bring to you that there's many times that the devil doesn't bring bad intentions into our life. He brings good intentions into our lives, and he deceives us with the good things and makes us believe that this is the will of God. And so, it's a problem. It's not a problem to be obedient But it's a problem that when we're obedient and we're out of the will of God, because we're going to miss some things, we're going to get deceived, we're going to get misplaced of truth in our lives, and before we know, we're going to have so many responsibilities following after the world, following after the devil's crowd, and we never take any attention of serving God and knowing who He is. So many of our churches today are full of that kind of destruction. And so today I want you to recognize this with me. That here, look with me in verse 5. And Sarai said unto Abram, my wrong be upon thee. Tonight, are you willing to accept your wrong? Are you willing to accept that before God? Listen, you know, you're either wrong or you're right. There is no in between. There is no gray areas when it comes to living between sin and righteousness. There is nothing in the middle. God don't look at the middle. God looks at on either side. It's either sin or it's right. It's either wrong or it's holy. Where do you and I, where do we find? Are we willing to accept our wrong? Are we willing to admit that? Here, Sarai, she had no choice but to accept she was wrong. She says, I have given my maid into thy bosom, and when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. May I submit to you tonight, any obedience out of the will of God, you're going to be despised in your life. You know, it would be sad for us as Christians. We're just doing our best, waiting on the Lord, preparing our hearts before Him. And yet we live in our life thinking that we're right with God. And yet one day God comes and turns on the light. And we recognize that we're so far away from God because we have despised. We're despised in His eyes. Why? Because we're despised in His eyes because we learned that we're being more of judged in our life because we chose to do our own thing out of the will of God, and we think that is right, but reality is wrong. And I'm just want you to, I'm not saying that there's nobody around us. I'm trying to get us to understand that the Lord sees who we are. He knows us intimately. That's why it's so important that you and I go to God on a daily basis, on a regular basis. We go to God. We go to God to submit our hearts and God, what is going on with my life? Where do I need help? What is wrong with me? How can I be in your will and yet be prosperous? That's where the difference makes. Oftentimes we find ourselves going to and fro. We're going to other people, Sarai went to other people to get the will of God, and it was wrong. She should have went to God, and God would have told her, wait, my daughter, just wait. Amen. Boy, isn't that something that we don't teach anymore? About waiting on God. And here, you know, time and time again, God wants us to know that we are to wait on Him. And so here, the will of God is simply when we follow His methods, that's when they're prosperous. Amen. That's when we can lay our head on the bed and God has blessed us. Amen. I mean, we can be excited. We can be encouraged because we know the hand of God is upon our life. Amen. And that's where you want your blessings to come from. Second thing I want to give to you tonight is look with me in verse 6 through 8. The Bible says here in verse 6, but Abram said unto Sarai, behold, thy maid is in thy hand. Do to her as it pleaseth thee. And when Sarai dealt horribly with her, she fled from her face. And the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way of Shur, to Shur. And he said, Hagar, Sarai's maid, whence camest thou, and whither wilt thou go? And she said, I flee from the face of my mistress, Sarai. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, return to thy mistress and submit thyself under her hands. Second thing that I want to submit to you tonight is simply this. Hagar focused on running from her problems rather than giving God the opportunity to help her in her problems. Would it be tonight that you and I would recognize that God sees us? We recognize that God watches us. He knows all the details of our life. And yet, wouldn't it be that we would just be able to go to Him because He knows us? He knows where she's going, Hagar. He knew where Hagar was going. In fact, look what the Bible says. Amen. Verse 6, at the end of verse 6, it says, and when Sarai dealt hardly with her, she fled from her face. Listen, she just took off, darted out of the barn and just left, mad, screaming, crying. And you can imagine, all the makeup running down her face. Amen. I mean, she smeared. I can imagine when Jesus saw her, there was no description what she looked like. Amen. I mean, hair's all matted back and makeup and smear, trying to see her way down. I don't know, man. Maybe that's where they got Halloween from also. I don't know. But I can imagine when I remember when I was growing up as a kid and I got my feelings hurt. And I went around, and I got my feelings hurt, and I got my heart broken, amen. I went, and I left mad, ready to destroy anything in my path, and crying and smashing things, and all these other things. And if you're honest, you wouldn't be sitting there and acting so holy. You would say, hey, that's me. That's what I would have done. Be right to say what's truth. And yet, here, notice, verse 7 says, and the angel of the Lord found her. Well, I really like that. Amen. Amen. You're saying, Pastor, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to get you to understand that we're just like Hagar. A lot of times we run from our problems rather than give God the opportunity to say, God, what is going on? Why is it coming to my soul? Why is all these hardships and into my life? And yet, it's only an opportunity that we can give to God, an opportunity that we can become more intimate with Him. Amen? Amen. I like that. Amen. The Lord found her. You know, it just didn't say He found her. Hagar, where art thou? Hagar, are you over here? Hagar. No, it don't say that. Look what it says. And he found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness. I believe that the Lord knew exactly where she was at. I believe, in fact, I personally believe that, by trying to read the scriptures and get a grasp on this in my heart and trying to place myself there, I perhaps may have believed or could have believed or would want to believe that, hey, she was maddened, running, screaming, crying, all of that, smacking the trees out of the way. And, you know, just the more she went on, the more aggravated she was. And then yet she passed by Hagar and Jesus says, Hagar, where are you going? Who is that? Amen. You know what? You say, Pastor, you can't prove that. Listen, I can prove that right from the Bible. Because, listen, the Bible says that God is not willing for one soul to perish and to go to hell. And if a person was to go to hell, they would have to go past the grace of God. They would have to deny it. They would have to turn their ear and turn their heart from hearing the Word of God. And so today, you could take that and apply that principle to who God is. And I would say to you that you and I, if we pass by Jesus Christ, God is God enough to know to let us that He's there. Amen. I believe that you would know when you're going by God. It would be a struggle in your life as a Christian. Amen. You know, the world don't know. They don't see Him. They don't know who He is. They don't understand Him. We're peculiar people, but you and I are to know God. Amen. We are to know who He is. And yet, the Bible says, Jesus says, my sheep know my voice. Amen.
Amen.
And yet, even though this woman was Egyptian, she gave heed to this angel, to this Lord. Now, I believe this is Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, that reminds me. Here, this Egyptian was a Gentile. Amen. Kind of reminds me of you and me. Amen. Well, here we going by the Lord Jesus Christ in our life, and all of a sudden, Jesus, He made Himself known. Hagar, where art thou? Where are you going? And all of that, amen. And yet, here she made that attempt, amen. He made that attempt to know where she's at, amen. And yet, she stopped and received the Lord's grace, amen. Tonight, wonder where you're at tonight. You and I as a Gentile, and yet here we as Gentiles, we stop and we receive the grace of God, and yet something changes in our life. Amen. And that thing that changes in our life is that tonight we can know who God is. He's the God that sees me. Amen. He's the God that knows me. He knows who I am. He knows what's in my heart. He knows everything about my life. And yet, if we believe that, then why is it that at times we ignore God's advice? Why is it that at times we aren't so gentle in our lives, and yet... We become expendable. We become expedient to want our own ways and not want the will of God. And so tonight, here Hagar, she focused on running from her problems rather than giving God the opportunities. You know, the problems that God allows in our life are the opportunities to help us to grow and mature spiritually. So we need to see that here in the Bible. And then last of all, I want you like if you would look with me in verse 9. The Bible says, "And the angel of the Lord said unto her, Return to thy mistress and submit thyself unto her hands. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered for multitude." Here tonight, we can see Hagar was blessed according to her submission. Not her submission to her mistress, although she was to imply that to her mistress when she returned, but she was to be submissive because God had given her a commandment. Amen. Tonight, you and I, we are to be submissive. Not because people perhaps are over us. Not because people they're the leaders of our life. But simply because you and I can turn to the Bible and find in the Bible what is trying to teach us tonight. So Ephesians chapter 6, turn over there with me real quick. Ephesians chapter 6. And we'll find what the Lord was trying to speak about to Hagar when He said, return to thy mistress. Ephesians chapter 6, just read with me in verse 5 through 7. The Bible says in verse 5, Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart, as unto Christ, not with eye service, as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men. Tonight, you and I, we are to be submissive because God commands us to be submissive, but not to be submissive as if we don't have any feelings, not to be submissive because no one don't love us, but we are to be submissive as to the Lord. That's what God wants in our life. Amen. There's three relationships that we all develop in our life. One, that's the family, our own family. Like in marriage, we have our own lives, so we're to be submissive in those types of relationships. Then the second is the families, our immediate families, those like my, I think about my family, just had an opportunity to talk with one of Bethany's uncles, and I talked with him on the phone, and I was trying to get him to come here. And, you know, I mean, he's been in the ministry for 35, 40 years, amen? And so, hey, all right, to be able to submit to some areas of my life when he gives me good Bible counseling. Amen. I ought to submit to that. I ought to sit down in a chair with a notepad and a pen in my hand, sit down in a chair and keep my mouth quiet and take notes. Amen. Amen. That's the families we're talking about. Amen. These are families that we have in our life. And then the third relationship is the jobs. Amen. You know, job, I remember always working, and my job at times was my family, amen? I mean, that was who I was, amen? You couldn't find me. If it was anything outside the job, you couldn't find me. I didn't go and hang up in the strip club and in the bars and all that. I was too busy working, amen? Had too much time to do, too many roots to put on in this world, amen? And so, yeah, there's jobs. So what does that mean? Well, in these relationships, we are to be servants, amen? Not servants because we are abused and we're neglected, but we're servants as unto the Lord, amen? See, we make a difference in our lives when we make a decision that we're going to live according to God's will, amen? So we make those opportunities. Everybody thinks that our behavior towards others depend on how they treat us, but that's wrong. Let me say that again. Everybody thinks that our behavior toward others depend on how they treat us. And that's not true. In fact, the right way is simply that the Bible says that we ought to treat others the way we want to be treated. Amen. You say, Pastor, what are you saying? Well, we know that Jesus said that in the book of Proverbs, that if you want a friend, you must show yourself friendly. Amen? Amen. And so tonight, we have to set the examples. Amen. Too many people want to be served. They don't want to be a servant. Amen. We are to be the servant of Jesus Christ. Amen. I've learned a long time ago. When I went to Bible college, amen, I went there, and it wasn't long that, I went there. I don't know why I went there. I just went there, amen, believing that's what God wanted, amen. And I went there to serve, not something that was new to me, something that I was already doing in the church that I was already established at. I was already serving in my church, and I went there and became a servant. And I said, hey, if I'm here, I want to be the greatest servant that I can. And God allowed me to have experienced more opportunities than I can ever dream of. Amen. In fact, many of the other college students, they hated me because the things that I was involved in, like taking Dr. Malone for a long drive to the airport, amen. I mean, hey, I was driving Dr. Malone's vehicle, amen. There and back, Then I come, and then he said, hey, Robert, go wash my vehicle. I go wash the vehicle, amen. Man, I mean, I'm riding in style, amen. Look around, amen. I mean, hey, it was nice, amen. And it didn't, you know what? And it didn't, you know, I'll be honest, tell you, amen. I got to get it out there. I mean, it's going to rub me the wrong way, but I'll tell you, amen. A true servant, a true servant doesn't mind serving.
Amen.
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 And so, you know, I just began to, when I write letters home to my folks, I would write, love Robert Boyce, the servant of God.
Amen.
It don't bother me to serve. Amen.
Amen.
I wonder tonight if how Hagar, how she was truly blessed according to her submission. You know, we find in the Bible, verse 9, it says, return to thy mistress and submit thyself unto her hands. Oh, isn't that hard? Amen. You know, today we would say, God, that's not good counseling. God, that is, God, you just don't know what you're talking about, and all of that. But, you know, God had a plan here. God had a reason here. Now look with me in verse 10. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered for multitude. You know, here we find here, right here in this, we found the Lord himself making a covenant with Hagar right here. He says, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly that it shall not be numbered for multitude. May I say to you tonight that tonight, if you would just submit yourself unto the hand of God, God will make a covenant with you and he'll take care of you. He won't lead you astray. He won't leave you out there in the mess, in the wilderness, by the fountain, all by yourself, crying and looking like the wicked witch of the West and all of that. He knows where you're at. He comes to you. He cleans you up. He gets the most important thing back on track, and that's your heart. Amen.
Amen.
You know, that's something that should say for you and I, the God who sees me is the God who knows me. Amen.
Amen.
Would you be willing to submit yourself under his hands? Amen. See, a lot of times we don't want to submit ourselves to other folks because we feel like they're going to lord over me. But God won't let it happen. Amen.
Amen.
And so today, I believe that we must take God at his word. If God tells us to submit ourselves unto those, the ones that who have lead over, then perhaps he has a way. He has something in our life. See, tonight I want to end this by saying that we must respond to the fact that God sees our problems and must recognize that God will not erase the consequences in our life. But in fact, because of failures of our failures or the failures of others, but in fact, will create a new and bigger vision if we would submit our hands in his life. Amen.
Amen.
You want to be a better Christian than you are? Then submit your life into his hands. Let him teach you in your problems how to become more godlier, how to become more spiritual, and how to become more proficient at being a Christian. Every head bowed. Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight, dear God. We want to thank you for your love and your grace.